Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The fifth commandment taught us how God forbids us to dishonor human life with our thoughts, words, or deeds, and how he commands us to honor it. The sixth commandment teaches us how God forbids us to dishonor his institution of marriage with our thoughts, words, or deeds, and how he commands us to honor it. You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we lead a pure and chaste life in word and deed, and each one love and honor his spouse. Just as there's an obvious literal definition of murder, so there's also an obvious literal definition of adultery. It's when a married person strays from the marriage and has sexual relations with someone other than his or her spouse. So, first and foremost, we're talking about a husband's sin against his wife or a wife's sin against her husband by straying from the faithfulness they promised to each other when they took their marriage vows. We're obviously also talking about that third party, that person with whom the husband or wife strayed from the marriage and committed sexual immorality. We should say a few words about marriage before we go on. Scripture defines it as the joining together of one man and one woman into a union that is to last as long as they both shall live. That union was established by God already in the Garden of Eden, when he presented the newly created Eve to the recently created Adam, and Adam declared, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And Jesus confirms that union, that oneness, in Matthew chapter 19. "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." The one flesh of marriage applies to the whole earthly life of husband and wife, which also includes the body. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Oneness. A oneness that is to last until husband or wife dies. In other words, God forbids the ending of that marriage before one of them dies. He forbids divorce, except in the extreme situations of actual adultery, or as we call it, malicious desertion. We can identify three purposes in Scripture that God has designed for marriage. Marriage is designed to provide lifelong companionship for husband and wife. It's God's divinely instituted means of bringing children into the world, to give them a stable home with a mom and a dad, devoted to one another, who will raise their children to know and to fear the Lord. And marriage provides a divinely created means of preserving chastity. Now, what is chastity? It's the godly discipline of reserving all sexual relations for the loving use of husband and wife. It's very simple. God has placed sexual desires into men and women, and God has provided the context of marriage for fulfilling those desires. Marriage is to be the context for all sexual relations. Apart from marriage, God provides no context for any sexual relations. On the contrary, he forbids it. anything that threatens or disturbs the sacredness of this divinely instituted marriage is also forbidden by God and summarized with the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. As it says in Hebrews 13, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That word fornication is a broad term in the Bible that refers to all sexual immorality, from sex between unmarried persons to indecent language and joking, to viewing pornography and to the sinful lust of the heart. Jesus had to clarify all those other things for the Jews when he summarized the sixth commandment for them. He said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." And then we come to those crass forms of sexual deviancy, like homosexuality, and all this current chaos over gender, men pretending to be women and women pretending to be men, or something else entirely. These two are forms of adultery with which God condemns both in the Old and in the New Testaments. They're perversions of God's creation and of God's institution of marriage, and they are the death of a society when they're openly embraced, as they now are in almost all the societies of the world. The world cannot survive much longer. On the positive side, what does it look like to lead a chaste or pure and chaste life where each one loves and honors his spouse? Well, it looks like fleeing from sexual immorality, as Paul puts it to the Corinthians. It looks like honoring marriage as instituted by God in our hearts, in our words, and in our actions. It looks like seeking a godly spouse with prayer and sound judgment, putting God's word and the worship of God first before anything else. And it looks like husbands and wives being devoted to one another, as Christ and his beloved church are devoted to one another. That's the pattern of a Christian marriage that Paul sets for us in Ephesians chapter 5. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies." Where have you failed to keep the sixth commandment? Where have you failed to lead a pure and chaste life in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions? Where have you failed to treat marriage as something sacred and honorable? The sixth commandment, like the rest, shows us our sin and condemns us in the courtroom of God's justice, which is yet another reason why only a fool would plead his case before God based on his fine obedience to the sixth commandment. Our only plea must be, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose every thought, word, and deed were pure and chaste, who honored marriage and defended it in my place, and who suffered and died for my unchastity and loveless behavior. Then, clothed in Christ's righteousness and having God's forgiveness, let the sixth commandment guide you each day into the new obedience of God's beloved children, to the glory of God and to the preservation of mutual love within a marriage and God-pleasing chastity both within and without. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.